We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, and by the way, I got to say this too. As you listen to the show and you hear the breaks, right, you're hearing the ads at play. Right Side Radio, we are an independent organization. We are a business entity unto ourselves. And part of the way we sustain our operations is by selling ads. So if you're listening to this, know this. We have literally tens of thousands of weekly listeners to Right Side, that a bunch of Right Side ruffians, man. And if you're a Right Side ruffian and you would like to sell your goods and services to other ruffians, well, we have the captive audience right here. So yeah, if you'd like to advertise on Right Side, we'd love to talk to you. All you got to do is, you don't call the station directly, you contact us directly. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising contact tab, send us a message, and Lauren from Right Side will be on it like white on rice. So yeah, jump on board. We'd love to have you. Rightsideradio.org. Send us a message. Advertise on Right Side. I got to take a couple of text messages real quick. JT Lacey Springs says, listening to that current topic, that's the one I had a minute ago about special interests. He goes, I realize we all have special interests, like the interest rate on the next needed loan, grocery costs, cost to keep up the home, the list goes on. That would be a special interest. The economy is certainly a special interest. By the way, if you're into the economy, then you might want to know that one of those special interest groups that does an amazing amount of good work on conservatism, especially on conservative fiscal policy, is the Club for Growth. I was a Club for Growth Foundation fellow, and they are rock solid and doing a lot right now to start getting freedom caucuses going in the state legislatures. Mike from Huntsville says, why is it that state senator why did the state senator not identify the person who did the shooting at the May Day event? I guess is what he's trying to ask. If it is a legal or a black DMC support anyway, I don't know. I don't know, man. I have nothing for you, Mike. I think you're asking a question that I can't answer. In fact, I was going from the storyline on 1819 News. If you want to read about it, you can. It says right now no arrests have been announced. I mean, nobody knows. I don't think anybody's been arrested to be able to tell you who the shooter was. So the story came out this morning, major shooting in Baldwin County at a May Day event, a little town called Stockton. I know where that is. I used to live down that way. And multiple agencies responded, 15 people wounded, 3 people killed. But right now there is nobody in custody as of the date or the time of the story being printed this morning. They're asking for the public's help. So, Mike, to answer your question, he doesn't know either. More to come. All right. Listen, we're going to move on to a new topic. This is one of those times when I'm looking around and I'm thinking, hey, look at that wokeness. And oh my gosh, did you see that wokeness? How much wokeness? Is there more wokeness? Could there? Yes, there is. I've got a vast cornucopia. I've got a buffet, if you will. I've got the smorgasbord, the charcuterie of wokeness, and that means I've got to put together a segment that we like to call Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
Oh, yeah. All right, so listen, I got a series of stories here, some of which are going to curl your hair, other which are going to make you mad, some make you laugh or roll your eyes. Anyway, here's the first one. I look at this story, I'm thinking, you guys have no clue. None whatsoever. Hotair.com. Dateline May 12th, so this is yesterday. Queers for Palestine. First of all, that is the name. You got to go out and brand yourself as Queers for Palestine. You couldn't just say, we support Palestine. You got to be Queers for Palestine. It's not enough, man. Got to have the rainbow flag and the Palestine flag all at the same time. Okie dokie. Some of these folks are so into their identities that they just can't even begin to non-brand. But Queers for Palestine decided it'd be a great idea to try and protest Disney World.
That whole line you just said just sounds so silly.
It was beyond silly. It gets sillier when I put this in context in a minute. So Queers for Palestine decided it'd be awesome. Here's an idea. Hey, fellas, what do you want to do? I don't know. Don't call me fellas. I'm a non-binary. Okay, whatever. Let's go down and protest Disney. Sure, that'll be great. We'll win all kinds of friends. How are we going to do it? Let's block the roads. Block the roads? Yeah, but we won't block the road in. We'll block the road out. Oh, you mean at the end of the day when everybody's tired and sweating, hot, and their kids are crying in the back seat and they just want to go home and get off their feet for a while because they've been walking around in concrete hell and eating hot dogs all day long? Yeah, let's go to those people and mess their day up. Okay. So they did. So Queers for Palestine showed up on Interstate 4 right outside the exit of Disney World, blocked the road, pulled their cars across the roads, got out, chanting, "Free, free Palestine! Whoop, whoop, don't call me by the wrong pronouns! Free, free Palestine!" Backing up traffic for miles. Now, let me just point out that Queers for Palestine is already something that makes you just go, what were they thinking? This is like, I don't know, Jews for Hitler. Yay, that'll work. Or how about vegans for cattle farmers? That makes good sense. That's where we are. Queers for Palestine. Do they understand what they do in fundamentalist Islamic countries to people who would openly brand themselves as queer? I don't even know what queer means anymore. When I was a kid, you weren't allowed to even say that word. That's a naughty word. Don't say that. Now they're self-identifying. And the Queers for Palestine decided to block the road. But it's Florida. Yeah. So they blocked the roads. They drew the ire of the people who are blocked. Some of them got out to confront them. Others trying to drive around them. It's Florida, though. The police got there within 11 minutes. They did not play. They hauled them off the road. They cleared the interstate, and everything went back to normal. People were cheering, by the way, for the police, not for the protesters. Point made here in the story is, says what we're seeing here is a very similar to the errors that were made by Black Lives Matter during the BLM riots of 2020. Because traditionally, it says, when people wanted to go out and protest for a particular cause, their intention was to draw attention to the public and hopefully enlist support of others. But all BLM did was alienate. Because they burned stuff down, they screamed at you, they made you kneel down, they demanded things, and if you didn't answer, they tried to dox you or, you know, come burn your school or your house or your business. They're doing exactly the same thing. These pro-Palestinian folks, they're not winning any friends at all. And Queers for Palestine? I mean, if they knew, I guarantee you, if some of them were to find out what life was like for someone who identifies as homosexual in one of the Islamic, in Palestine, how about that? In Gaza, how about that? They would probably curl up in the fetal position because it's not good. I mean, over there is where they literally, you know, use Sharia law, or they'll throw you off a building. Just the bottom line is this: Queers for Palestine makes as much sense as Jews for Hitler. That's how much sense it makes. But here we are with some woke worldness going on that you look at and go, I don't think they thought that through. But I find that quite often in wokists. It's like they didn't quite think that through.
I'm glad the police showed up quickly.
11 minutes.
Because that could have been bad if they would have caused accidents.
Oh, the whole thing. Jail. How about just the inconvenience? And then what happens if you have an emergency vehicle that's got to get through? Mm-hmm. What if they're transporting somebody out to the a local hospital or something?
Like you just said, they didn't think it through.
They didn't think it through. They don't care, but they didn't think it through either. And they also don't know what it is they're cheering for. Well, we heard that they're oppressing the Palestinians and things. Where is Palestine? Do you know where that is on a map? So it's between the river and the sea. Which river and which sea? They don't know. But it's also Queers for Palestine. I mean, I would say this. I would bet that Hamas giggles every time they hear there's a Queers for Palestine rally in their favor. Because it's just not going to work. Jeff from Indiana just texted in. He said, Phil, I wonder if Queers for Palestine knows that Palestine is not for queers. There you go. Well, listen, I got several of these, and that was one of my favorites. But I've got one here about the climate professor that that basically thinks that to save the environment, we're just going to have to go ahead and reduce the human race. Oh, nice. I've got other things in here like, did you know, by the way, that in San Francisco, they're going to spend an awful lot of money giving free beer to homeless people, especially the homeless alcoholics, because they want to lower the burden of being homeless. Well, that makes great sense. That's called feeding the flames. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We're doing Adventures in Woke World. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Oh, man. Making common sense like a superpower. I got a call on line one. That would be Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Jeff Rowe, where are you on the road right now, brother?
I am passing the 46-mile marker in Tennessee, heading north, man.
No way. At 345? No kidding.
Well, that's going to put me in Nashville about...
At that
stop
time.
30.
Yeah.
stop 30.
That's right. Stop 30. Rush hour 30. That's right. Exactly when you're going to be there.
Yeah.
Queers for Palestine. What do you think, man? Is it a winning opportunity here?
Well, it's like Big Rick said, I've sent you a thing here. I said that queers may be for Palestine, but Palestine ain't for queers.
Yeah, that's a special interest group that nobody saw coming, I guess.
Yeah. I wonder if they knew they was in Florida, you know, how much the cops actually saved their lives, probably, because I'm thinking somebody would have did a Barney Five, citizens rest, and just dragged their butts off the street and got them out of the way.
I think it would have been more like Death Race 2000 and to start plowing them through. I don't know. I look at this and I think, you know, they're totally blowing it, man. They've got an opportunity if they want to march or protest or call for things to change. But everything I see about these pro-Palestinian protesters is they're tearing stuff up and they're making people miserable while they do. Like, what friends are they really winning right now?
They're not winning. Well, none of them even know what the heck they're even protesting against. They're just like, oh, well, let's lay this cause as a Palestinian protest. Let's go. You know, they have no clue.
Well, I think the clear indication of that is it's queers for Palestine. They obviously don't know what they have not researched their topic. I mean, I said earlier, if you heard it, it'd be like Jews for Hitler. That's what it's like.
Yeah, I wonder how many Palestinians are over there protesting that the queers are getting arrested over here or something. You know?
I don't know.
Think they'll have a march?
But don't you think that like when the Hamas leadership hears about this stuff, that they get a kick out of the fact that there's queers for Palestine? Like those Americans, they don't even have a clue.
Yeah, it's encouraging to know that there's that many stupid people walking around over here. You know that's if I was the enemy, I mean, you know, hey, our enemy is. I always thought they was kind of silly. You know, you hear them going, oh, and then they blow themselves up. You know, while they're shooting a mortar off or something. You know, because they don't know what they're doing.
I saw this meme a while back, and it was like taken off of that really scary movie, The Sixth Sense. And the kid was going, I see stupid people, and they don't even know they're stupid.
There's a lot of that going on right
now. Oh,
there.
My
That's
goodness.
Too much. Hey, Cohen.
Yeah.
He recorded Trump.
Yeah.
Apparently. I wonder where Trump was when he recorded him.
Well, it says that
he was in.
It says they were
He was in Florida. Go ahead.
No, I say they were actually sitting in Cohen's office, apparently, because it says that Cohen had his phone in his hand like he was using it, but Trump didn't realize he had turned on the record. And so they were sitting together across a table is what it says in the article I just read a while ago. So that tells me they were either in Cohen's office or maybe Trump's office, actually. Either way, they were in New York State, and I don't know what the laws are. In Alabama, it's a... As long as one part of the conversation knows it's being recorded, it's not illegal. But I don't know what the law is where they were.
New York is a one-party consent.
Is it? Okay.
And D.C. is a one-party consent. But Florida, I thought maybe he might have been in Florida. That is a two-party consent state. So, if he would have recorded it from then, I would say this is illegal and should be inadmissible in court anyway.
Should we be concerned that you know all that?
Well, you know, I'm friends with a lawyer. You know, he's from Alabama, but I think he knows what he's doing.
Oh, my gosh. He's here to quote me the law in all the states. He drives through. He must be recording people, depending on what state he's in. I got to hit pause. Hang on.
Hey, Jeff, he may eat, you know, gas station fish, but he's a smart guy.
He's a smart guy. Can't get one past him.
Yeah, I'm just about as smart as a prison guard. You know, I'm a truck driver, so, you know, prison guards put themselves in prison with prisoners. You know, they can't be too bright. And anybody who drives a truck for as long as I have can't be too bright either.
All I know is the wheels of commerce are better because you're moving them forward, brother. All right, man. Well, listen, be safe on the road. Glad you're getting home at a decent hour at the very least.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Have a good one, Phil.
We'll see you, buddy. So I'm in Adventures in Woke World, and I've got this next piece. Do I have time for it? How much time we got? Yeah, okay. How about this one? Picked this one up from PJ Media. Oh, it sounds rather thick. PJ Media. So you gotta be concerned sometimes about who are these professors you're sending your kids off to college to sit in front of and learn things. And are they really learning? Professor Bill McGuire is apparently a professor and a well-known volcanologist and climate scientist who does not care about humanity, says PJ Media. So the dude tweeted out basically that he thought the only way to save the earth was to get rid of a whole lot of people. And he was not playing. Here's what he said. He tweeted this out. It's kind of like the thing where you look at it and go, did you just let your inside words become the outside words? Yes, you did. He said, if I'm brutally honest, the only realistic way I see emissions falling as fast as they need to avoid catastrophic hashtag climate breakdown, is the culling of the human population by a pandemic with a very high fatality rate. What? Okay. Let's get this straight. You're a highly educated man. Allegedly, you are a doctorate level professor. I feel certain that you're also published and you likely have tenure. But he says, he suspects that the only way we can save the climate, basically, to avoid catastrophic climate breakdown, is the culling of the human population by a pandemic with a very high fatality rate. Well, he began to take a ration right thereafter, and he quickly deleted the tweet. Why would he do it? Except that he deleted it without remorse. What? Yes, he deleted it and replaced it with, right, I'm deleting the initial tweet now, not because I regret it, but because so many people out there have mistakenly or intentionally taken it the wrong way. How are we supposed to take it, you wokest green nerd? So he's literally saying, we ought to cull the human race. Well, I'll tell you some of the responses he got when we get back from this break. But it gets better. And he even doubled down and tried to say, that's not what I said. And everybody's like, that's what you said. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Adventures in Woke World. We'll be right back. Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. Good Lord, where'd the first 2 hours go? That's amazing. So I was in this story. You know what? Let's do this. Let's kick it off right. Third hour, Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
Nice. Thank you, Big Rig. Your mastery of the buttons continues to amaze. So I'm on this story right now. In the midst of Woke World, you have the Green New Steel people, right? In the midst of Woke World, you got the climatologists and the climate activists and the climate everythings. And then you got these, the special people, the ones who believe that the earth is soon to fall apart and the only way we can handle this is to get rid of us, people. So I mentioned beforehand, we got a guy named Professor Bill McGuire, and what I'm looking for here, I did not see what school he's the professor at, but his specialty is volcanology, meaning volcanoes, and a climate scientist, and he doesn't care much for humanity, according to PJ Media. Story came out this weekend. His quote was, his tweet says, if I'm brutally honest, the only realistic way I see emissions falling as fast as they need to avoid catastrophic climate breakdown, is the culling of the human population by a pandemic with a very high fatality rate. How are we supposed to take that? I'm pretty sure what we're looking at there is a guy who's basically saying, can we just have a bunch of people die, please? Because I'm worried about the environment. Within hours, he had deleted it. But he deleted it, allegedly, without remorse. He deleted it, saying this in its place. I am deleting the initial tweet, not because I regret it, but because so many people out there have mistakenly or intentionally taken it the wrong way. By the way, that was in all caps. I've always said that all caps in a text or a tweet is like basically you're yelling while you're doing it. You're yelling in your text. You're yelling in your tweet. He is absolutely off the rails. So then it gets better. People began to respond. One guy said, just very plainly, nobody took it the wrong way. It was crystal clear. You believe the best way to save the planet is to reduce the human population, but you don't want a volunteer to go first. He says, lead by your own example because you think your existence is superior to everybody else's. And to the folks reading this, academic institutions you send your children to for a higher education are infested with dangerous people with this mentality. They hate you. That's quite the epic response. But then there are others you might just look at and go, okay, what was he doing? What was he saying? Well, he came back and he tried to wiggle out of it again. And he said, seems like, this is all caps again, by the way, he's screaming still on his text. Seems like a lot of people can't read. I said, the only way I see emissions falling as fast as they need to. I did not say we need a pandemic. And then he puts an acronym for an expletive in there. And he says, don't read things into a statement that aren't there. I could have said society-busting asteroid impact. It's that makes it better. I'm wishing for a society-busting asteroid because that won't harm the environment whatsoever. Isn't that what caused the Ice Age?
This guy just needs to go ahead and delete his account.
Yeah, like stop. Matt Walsh chimed in, says, you don't think emissions need to fail or fall because, one, you think emissions need to fall, and, two, you think a pandemic or some other catastrophe is the only way it's going to happen. Anyway, that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of extremism we see in woke world. That's the stuff out there that you look at and go, what in God's name? Oh, wait a minute. I got a text over here. Who was that text that came through? Where's he at? Ron from Huntsville. Oh, Ron. First time texter, he said earlier, but then this time he came back and says, call the human race. Start with you, Ron from Huntsville. Wow. Give me your best sound effect on that one. Oh, Ron, you take yourself far too seriously, and I don't. Mike from Huntsville says, he sent me a meme. What you got? Okay, he's into politics memes. I'm not on topic right now, so I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next one here. Brad from Laredo, Tennessee says, hey, Phil, not sure if you've seen it yet. Conservative students held a barbecue right next. Oh, good. Good. And in fact, Brad from Laredo, Tennessee, if you've got a storyline on that one, I'll grab it and bring it up on the air here momentarily. But that's awesome. Brand spanking new texter, Brian from Bluntsville. Brian from Bluntsville says, thank you to the Right Side Ruffians, first time texter, Brian, a Southern California transplant to Bluntsville, Alabama. Well, Brian, I live briefly in Southern California. Send me back a text. Tell me where you lived out there. But welcome to Alabama. We're glad you're here. And yeah, welcome to Radio Free Alabama. Mike from Muscle Shoals says he has a meme of Dwight from The Office, and he says there's too many people in this world. We need a new plague. Holy cow. Glenn from Bluntsville says some people should call themselves and leave the rest of us alone. Okay, let's don't go down that road. And then JT from Town Creek says, he's back on the Trump thing. He says, why doesn't attorney-client privilege apply to the Cohen-Trump conversations? Well, they're supposed to. But attorney-client privilege has exceptions, and I'm assuming they found an exception with regard to criminal activity. Although, not always. How about this one, while I'm in woke world? Story from the National Pulse. Let's see, which one of these do I want first? Now I'm going with this one. I'm going to skip down. I'm going to the one from Daily Wire. This is a crossover story. This is a combination of woke world / jackassery. So give me some jackassery real quick there, bud. All right. San Francisco, Oh, Lord, he led off with San Francisco. Yes, I did. San Francisco is spending around $5 million a year to give vodka shots and glasses of beer to homeless people with severe alcohol addictions. What? Big Riggs is shaking his head at me. I don't understand it.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it's called the city's managed alcohol program. Managed. It should be called the city's managed alcoholic program.
What's the goal here?
Make life easier for alcoholics so they don't feel the pressure of their withdrawals. I kid you not. That's their stated purpose. And by the way, you'll never guess which department is actually handling it. The Department of Public Health.
Wow.
Yeah. So the city spends up to $2 million a year, but the San Francisco Chronicle reported that the managed alcohol program actually costs closer to $5 million a year. That's a lot of vodka shots and kegs. The city's Department of Public Health says the program has served at least 55 clients. Wait. 55? $5 million a year? 55 clients. Do you know how much alcohol that is? I mean,
it's a lot.
You were throwing, you were tipping back, no telling how many. I mean, you're neck deep.
Yeah.
You might as well just go ahead and get in the vat, just sleep inside the keg. So it says Public Health says the program has served 55 clients and has grown from 10 beds to 20 beds located in a former hotel in the Tenderloin District, an area known for its high rate of homelessness and drug use. My gosh. He says, by prescribing limited quantities of alcohol, the model aims to prevent potentially life-threatening effects of alcohol withdrawal, such as seizures and injuries. $5 million a year, and they're serving up vodka and glasses of beer to homeless people with severe alcohol addictions in San Francisco. By the way, it's not the only program like this. They have other so-called, quote-unquote, you can't see the air quotes when I'm doing air quotes on the radio, quote-unquote, harm reduction programs run by the city for drug addicts, like the ones where they give heroin to heroin addicts. Yes, they're giving heroin to heroin addicts. A man in recovery for heroin addiction slammed the harm reduction program, telling the Chronicle, are we just going to manage people's addictions with our taxpayer dollars in perpetuity forever? It seems like that's basically what we're doing. How about we spend it on detox and recovery? I don't have an explanation for this. It is just the adventures that we have in Woke World, and that one bled over into Jackassery because that was a government-based decision to do that. They're spending $5 million. They've got an old hotel in San Francisco, and inside the lobby it says they have kegs set up with taps, and they're basically giving out free beer to the homeless who have been identified with alcohol use disorder. Basically, if you're drunk, you can stay drunk on the taxpayer dime in San Francisco. My gosh. How do they get by? I don't know. What else do I want to do? I don't know if I can finish all this up. All right, I've got this. Which one? I'll do this one. City of Denver. Denver. Denver, Colorado. Denver Mayor Michael Johnson's facing a formal demand. I circled that word. Formal demand from local migrants. Oh, by the way, that's illegal migrants. A list of 13 conditions was so okay. What part of illegal do they not understand? You're here illegally. You're here wrongly. You come in without obeying our laws, and then you make demands. Well, they did. Here's their list of demands. This is, by the way, what happens when you have a sanctuary city. They expect stuff. You are welcome here. We'll take care of you. This is good. They want free immigration lawyers. Okay. They want fresh ingredients for the self-preparation of meals. Fresh ingredients. Don't bring us in them stale, you know, veggies. Unlimited access to showers. I think we could all agree with that. Frequent medical checkups. They want a uniform housing support. In other words, they want some measure of housing. They want housing, medical, food. They want lawyers. And they want an orderly and just process for eviction, meaning if they don't pay their rent or whatever they're required to do, what happens? How do they? What's their process? They want job support. They want privacy. In other words, give us all this stuff, but leave us alone, and we don't want any accountability. And they want the eradication of abuse. What? That's random. The eradication of abuse. There shall be no abuse in the world. We will not condone violence. We demand it. Okay. school transportation, and family unity. I would hazard that if you came across the border and you sent your child ahead, you know, on their own, and now you're demanding family unity, it may be because you came across the border like you did. They want to receive food and rental aid for 6 months. The city of Denver spent over $68 million last year doing this stuff. $68 million.
Oh, so Denver agreed to it.
Oh, no, no. This is Denver's a sanctuary city, so the demands are new.
Okay.
But what's happened is this is what happens when you open yourself up to be preyed upon. We're a sanctuary city. You come here, we will give you things. It'll be great. Virtue signal, virtue signal, virtue signal. And then when they get there and really demand the stuff, you're like, oh, crap. How are we going to pay for all this? I don't know. We better tax the people who actually are productive. That's what we'll do. Let's call the federal government. They'll give us more money. They've got a printing press. This will be awesome. The next thing you know, $68 million has been spent. And the illegals, they don't feel like they got it good. In fact, they come back with more demands. Here's a demand. Go back where you came from. Please shut down the border. Stop the madness. I didn't even get to it all, but we'll probably call it there. That's Adventures in Woke World. And wow, we'll take a few text messages after this break, and then we'll jump on that next segment. Did you know that right this very minute, the United Auto Workers are actually right now beginning to vote on whether to join the UAW vote is taking place at Mercedes right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.